World Soccer Talk podcast, the only podcast that focuses on watching soccer on TV, online, and apps. In episode 92, we discuss our latest analysis of TNT's Champions League coverage, Bleacher Report Live crashes and burns, why beIN is suing Saudi Arabia for $1 billion, what we thought about the DC Fan Fest on NBC, and we have a bunch of letters from you, the listeners, in our mailbag section. My name is Christopher Harris, aka The Gaffer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Kartik Krishnaiyer. Kartik, we have to begin in terms of what we've been watching from this past week with the UEFA Champions League coverage. And I never thought that when Turner acquired the rights to this competition and of course the Europa League, that they would do a worse job than Fox Sports. And it's still early days, but so far they're worse than Fox. What do you think?
I mean, I think that they're different than Fox, I would say. I'm not sure if they're better or worse. I mean, they're not better, clearly, and I'm not sure that they're worse. I mean, I think that our things that we didn't like about Fox's coverage that we're not seeing on TNT. And that having been said, I don't know where to start. Do we have the whole show to go through?
Sure.
Inventory?
Yeah, let's kick it off.
Okay. So, first off, The pre-match show, let's start Tuesday, since let's just do this sequentially, since we had 2 days of UEFA Champions League coverage, and I opted to not go to the office both days in order to watch it, because I knew this was going to be, I had hoped it wouldn't be as contentious as it was, but I suspected it would be, and once the Tuesday was a train wreck, Wednesday's decision was made for me, so didn't go to the office either day, so I could focus on Turner's coverage both days. The format of the pre-match show on Tuesday was outrageously bad. There was very little analysis. There's no points of disagreement. There's no points of contention. I don't think Kate Abdo steers the, and I previously have liked her when she did Bundesliga, and she still was on Fox. But she seems to be a mismatch for this, for presenting the UEFA Champions League. She's not the conversation in the right directions, which is a complaint I had about Rob Stone forever in terms of his hosting of the Champions League, and felt like when Abdo pinched hit for on Fox, much better job. Well, now she's kind of regressed to that mean of Stone. The graphics look just like the graphics do on all of USL materials, which makes me wonder if USL's in Tampa, Turner's in Atlanta, they've just hired the same PR agency or same marketing agency, and it looks like a little... It's like the 90s fad of a cursive writing and scribbling and makeshift ink writing. So that was bad. The production was really poor in the pregame show. Clunky, kind of loud, outtakes. I that Abdo wasn't on cue a lot. That's probably not her fault. That's probably the producer's fault. And then, obviously, we had the problems during the Man United Valencia game, and I don't know if you want to talk about that now.
Well, let me just jump into. I find it incredible how Turner has six people on set. So they have four in Atlanta on Wednesday, and then two in Los Angeles. How out of those six people, there's very little insightful analysis. You would think that with six people, you'd get some. Like wisdom, some pearl, where you're like, oh wow, that's a really good thought, or that's a good observation. I mean, you have to look at the competition. You look at NBC Sports, and you look at Kyle Martino. I mean, Kyle's always pulling some really interesting insights into the analysis. The two Robbies from time to time, yes, definitely. Lee Dixon as a commentator. Always has a co-commentator, always has something. I always walk away from a match with something that he said where I'm like, wow, okay, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. And these six, it's almost like it's too many. I mean, if you pare them down, but even then, like you said, Kartik, they all agree with each other. It's very, I mean, Marisa Du, I wasn't impressed with at all. I thought his debut, given an analysis, but I thought his was very weak. Edgar Davids, I would say that he tried to be a little bit confrontational or kind of basically disagreeing with a couple of the things.
But Chris, the problem is Kate Abdo doesn't steer traffic the right way on that studio set. So there were multiple times this week where Edgar Davids made kind of interesting points, maybe sloppily, didn't get right to it, but was making a point that was contentious. And then she would just steer the conversation in a different direction and never follow up on that. So that's on the studio host, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I guess part of the issue, I mean, she did a couple of times say, like, what do you mean by that, or tell me more, I mean, a couple of times. But the issue I have is that they've had such a huge rotation of talent. I mean, you go through the list of talent that they've had in those seats. I counted about 9 people, and the Champions League only just started, about a month ago with the playoff qualification games. So you have a constant changing of those people. Having said that, I mean, she needs to be stronger, definitely, or they just need to break up this whole two studio set and just have one studio. And I don't know, it's not working at all. And that's the thing, though, too, Kartik, is this Manchester United Valencia game, you mean, on Tuesday on TNT. So I was tuning in, I was watching the pregame. And then all of a sudden, Kate Abdo says, and I wasn't watching the time or the clock. She says, "Oh, by the way, the game is starting 5 minutes late because of a delay in transportation getting to the stadium." I'm like, "What? Shouldn't we have known this? Like, this is." She said it kind of like almost like kind of as an aside, like, "Oh, by the way, no big deal. It's starting 5 minutes late." I'm like, "Okay, why is it starting late?" So I had to go to Twitter to find out the information, and I find out that it was because of the Man United bus. And for the viewer that's watching the game, it wasn't until, if they hadn't gone to Twitter, they wouldn't have found out about why the game was delayed until the 11th minute of the game, when Gary Birtles told us during the commentary that it was the Man United bus that was arriving late at Old Trafford.
Two seasons ago, when the Dortmund attack happened against Monaco, and credit to Fox, they were all over it that day.
Yeah, they stayed with the broadcast.
Particularly if I remember Ian Joy and Eric Winalda. So, this is a place where they've fallen compared to Fox.
Yeah, so for those listeners who missed it, so the Man United match kicked off 5 minutes late. No big deal, right? So we go right into the game. What the big deal was that usually, I mean, the game will end for halftime about, 3:45? But because it was delayed, it probably didn't end until about 3:50. So at 3:45-ish, all of a sudden, the game's interrupted. It's mid-game. It's like about 3 minutes to go in the game. And there's an error message on the TV screen. And it says kind of, I think, VTR output channel or something like that. And then it went to commercials. I'm like, what? The game's still going on. It's not even halftime yet. And before we went to commercials, it was interesting because Kate Abdo had a pre-recorded, okay, great, this is a great game. Okay, now we're going to go to halftime. We'll be back in a minute, which is interesting that's pre-recorded and not live. And yeah. Then after the commercials ended, they came back to the match, and then we saw like that maybe the last minute or two of the game before
halftime. But here's the thing that I think viewers who weren't watching Bleacher Report live at the same time, I had the TV on TNT, saw this snafu, knew exactly what had happened because it was 5 minutes behind. Because the Real Madrid CSKA match, mm-hmm. Were they playing CSKA?
Yeah,
CSKA match that I was watching on my kind of passively on my iPad went to halftime right when they played that pre-recorded thing from Kate Abdo. They play the same thing on the Bleacher Report live stream and then get into a halftime studio show. So it was planned to go at that time, and it probably was going on every web stream. So if you're watching Bayern and Ajax, it probably at the exact same time. So they have it on a timer is what that is.
Yeah, it's like automated. It's automatic. Okay, this time exactly, go ahead and play this. You mean, or someone hit the button at the wrong time thinking, you mean somebody in a studio said, okay, this at 3:45, hit this button, and they weren't watching the game to see actually the game is still going on. But the feeling I get, Kartik, overall, we'll get into Wednesdays in a little bit, but the feeling I get overall is when I'm watching TNT's coverage is I feel very detached from the game. It's all so studio focused. And correct me if I'm wrong, but on the studio analysis, whether it's pre-game or post-game, there's no interviews with the managers. You don't get kind of the Jose Mourinho in the Old Trafford press area doing a quick interview right before the game starts, and post game you don't get that. So I as a viewer feel very detached from what's going on within the stadium. How about you?
Yeah, well, I don't. The pre-match interviews, that doesn't bother me very much. I think that was just fluff and filler. And when Fox would play that, that gave them an excuse not to do anything else on those pregame shows other than that Grant Wall segment that we talked about ad nauseum on here. But the post-match commentary, particularly from Mourinho, this Valencia Man United disaster, and then the things that have happened subsequently, according to the Telegraph and other media sources, they were completely asleep at that. Now, granted, they did have the discussion with Nash and Holden, and this is an important thing to point out about Mourinho. It seems like, Chris, I've gotten to the point after 4 weeks or however many weeks they've been doing this now where, okay, if Nash and Holden, if they throw it to that L.A. studio, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to unmute it. I'm going to listen to what they're saying. If it's the Atlanta studio, I'm dreading. I'm like, should I just turn this off? Should I keep it on mute?
Yep.
Now, Wednesday, Tim Howard elevated the discussion, but this is a problem. When you're relying on an active player who has been there, what, half the time, maybe less,
yep.
To carry the Atlanta studio, because when he's not there, let's just be perfectly frank about it, it is useless what they talk about in Atlanta for the most part.
Yeah, the only exception I would give is in the very beginning, in the playoff stages, or it might have been the UEFA Super Cup final with Owen Hargreaves was in, and he was great.
Right.
And I'm sure they can't get him now because he's probably doing BT Sport and he's not available, but he was good. And I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that was good. No, not really. I mean, Carlos Bocanegra, I do not like. He's just very monotone, very flat. And that's overall, too. I mean, overall, especially the Atlanta studio, and actually even LA on Tuesday too, was very flat, no energy. It was very much, if I'm a soccer fan watching this broadcast, and I watch soccer games pretty regularly, what they're saying is nothing new. There's no insightful analysis. It's basically everything that we know. It's just kind of very, very pedestrian analysis. And that's the other thing too, Kartik. I mean, going back to not showing the post-match interviews, and yes, some of them are boring, but some of them are entertaining. I feel like it's TNT's broadcasting the Champions League from a different planet that's not connected to ours. And the only thing that I can say, the only redeeming factor so far of the Turner's UEFA Champions League coverage, the one thing that pulls me in that does that I can say, okay, hey, this is great, is the segments where they have Fernando. I've got his last name, but Fernando, where he's actually in the stadium, right by the UA fans or the ultras, or he's near the stadium, outside the stadium, and those are great segments. That's fantastic. That's something we've never seen before, and I'd love to see more of that. But we have no pitch sides interviews. We have no Jeff Shreves before the match, and that's what I said before with Fox. I can't believe that they're doing worse of a job than Fox. Fox's criticism, my criticism about Fox was really their analysis was so poor. Everything else in terms of, you know, making sure the game runs on time and making sure that if it's running long that you don't have a commercial interrupting the game, I mean mid-game, that stuff they had nailed down, that they were fine with that, but these are really just amateurish mistakes, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is embarrassing, and I think what's even worse, Chris, is that there doesn't seem to be any recognition on their end that things have to change. Now, maybe there will be, now that we have another 2 weeks until the next match day, or it would be 3 weeks until the next match day because of the international break. So maybe this is when they make some degree of change. They pivot. Colorado is not going to make the MLS playoffs, which is good news for all viewers, because Tim Howard actually is quite good. I think if he were put in the right atmosphere, and I guess we saw this when he was doing games on NBC as an active player a couple of years ago, that he has the ability to pull out some nuggets of analysis, not quite at the Mark Twellman level, but he does have that ability. And quite honestly, he's more media trained than the rest of them.
Yeah.
That sounds like a terrible thing to say, but they're just pulling these active and former players, Gooch and Moadu and Carlos Bocanegra, into the studio without any sort of significant media training. Now, yeah.
Well, let me just add to that, Kartik. I think if you're an analyst, you're only as good as the analyst that's next to you. So if you have Tim Howard that's making a good remark or good comment, you need someone right next to him to kind of play off that and either go in the opposite way and disagree with him or agree and then add more insight. But when you've got, you mean Maurice Adu and Edgar Davids or Aguchi and Onoeu, or you mean you go down the list of all these other analysts, and they're just not, you mean they're not building on what you've just said. It dilutes what Tim Howard says. So, but go on. I just want to chime in with that.
Right. So, Chris, I think the issue here also is that the two studio setup is never going to work properly in terms of like proper transitions. And flow. We can now determine that after however many, what we've had seven or nine broadcasts now, at least from these studios. I've lost track, but right. And I was gone. I was out of the country for a few of them. So I guess that's seven or nine that I've seen, and you've probably seen more. I think we're looking at a situation where we're seeing that Stu Holden is versatile enough to where he's able to kind of drive and stimulate conversations and thoughts out of Steve Nash, even if Nash isn't insightful all the time. But he's more insightful than I think many would give him credit for, than we're seeing out of the Atlanta studio. So they've got to make a decision. Now, I don't know if it comes now or it comes after the group stage, but they have to make a decision about what they do with the Atlanta studio. Do they fly Nash and Holden out to Atlanta to liven up that studio and create a greater flow and better energy levels among the panel? Or do they just dispense with Atlanta completely? Maybe, you know, keep Cape, Abdo, and LA and just have these two as analysts. I don't know. They're going to have to make some sort of decision about it. Now, here's the other thing, Chris, we need to point out. You and I and the people we interact with on Twitter and the people who listen to this podcast happen to be generally our hardcore soccer fans. Mm-hmm. And they have a certain style of presentation they enjoy. Now, it is possible that they've done market research and there's another constituent when they're seeking. Although I will tell you, there's a prominent commentator from another network who told me this week that the constituency TNT seems to be going after this commentator believes does not exist, but they've done some market research and they're going after a completely different audience than us.
Yeah, well, we could, in the TV ratings section, we can go into how, for Tuesday's games, how they did in terms of the number of people watching them, and well, at that point we can discuss that. But I mean, to kind of steal the thunder. It's not working. I mean, the TV numbers aren't great, so there's issues there. We'll see what Wednesday's numbers are this weekend on worldsoccertalk.com, and we'll see the Spurs-Barcelona, how that did. But, I can see that they're probably thinking, okay, let's take soccer to a new audience. Let's take it to the people that are used to tuning in to Turner for NBA. Let's try to attract that audience, especially with Steve Nash.
Audience. I mean, that'd be... The thinking that from these conversations I've had that it's like basically millennials who aren't sports fans that might be watching TNT for drama programs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Because if you're trying to get the American sporting audience, that's what Fox did. And obviously a different approach than that.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, too. I mean, soccer is already very, very popular. It's what, number two sport among teens to 20-somethings. So it's not as if, so those people are watching soccer anyway. They're probably not watching soccer as much as you or I or the listeners are, but they're watching soccer. So it's not as if it's taking an audience that never really got into soccer and trying to now... I'm not sure what their strategy is, and that's probably a good question maybe down the road that we ask Turner when we got the opportunity for. But Kartik, let's move on to Wednesday. So Tuesday was problematic. Wednesday was a complete disaster. And for those listeners who didn't experience it, it was a BR Live, Bleacher Report Live, just malfunctioned completely. It was... Well, let me backtrack from that.
Can I back up?
Yeah.
I forgot about this. So Maurice Adu did make one good point in halftime during the during the pre-record, or the, it wasn't pre-recorded, right? The intro was pre-recorded, but during the CSKA Real Madrid match, while Man United Valencia was still going on. So I decided at that very moment to tune to up the volume on my iPad and mute my television. Guess what happens? The second I up my volume on my iPad, Bleacher Report Live starts to buffer, and I miss Moadu making that point. Now, maybe it's a coincidence, but given the problems they had the next day, which we're going to go through in a minute, Chris, I'm just beginning to think even the technology isn't where it needs to be to pull this off.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to back up for a second, too, is because we knew about this, I mean, since day one when Turner acquired the rights and they started to tell us about their coverage plans. Is that there would be issues. The issues there would be is that very few games are on television. Almost the majority of, well, actually all of the games are on Bleacher Report Live streaming. But the issue we have is, a perfect example was on Wednesday when you have the 3 o'clock kickoff, you have Spurs against Barcelona, no doubt the biggest game of the day. The second most biggest game of the day, the one that was really intriguing, the one that we talked about on last week's podcast we thought would be really entertaining was Liverpool-Napoli. And we know how many Liverpool fans there are. We know how many admirers there are of Napoli. I mean, in terms of the US, the style of play, it was going to be a great match to watch. So what happens? I mean, and this is what's happened to NBC Sports in the past before, too, with NBC Sports Gold, is the issues that they've had when it has crashed, and it hasn't crashed for a long time, about a year ago, was when one of the games had decided to go ahead and put Man United on streaming and not on TV, and it crashed the whole thing and gave them a whole bunch of bad publicity. They had to issue refunds, and it was a nightmare. And that's the same thing that's happening today. So it's obviously, Turner's not learning from this. With it, all these Liverpool fans tuning in, I mean, and I'm sure there were other fans for other clubs at that same time, with only one game on TV on TNT, it's going to put incredible pressure and traffic loads on your streaming service. And for Bleacher Report to be a tech company and to have a streaming platform that crashes, that they've outsourced, there's not even an in-house streaming platform, it's embarrassing. And so for listeners who don't know, who are watching the TV broadcast maybe of the Spurs-Barcelona game and didn't go into BR Live, what happened was around about the 3 o'clock mark is BR Live crashed from the number of people trying to get on to watch the game. Now, I got a comment from Bleacher Report. So actually, I got a few comments here. So first up was Greg, You'll Never Walk Alone on Twitter. He says, FYI, significant problems with Bleacher Report Live today. Many who paid for today's Liverpool match lost the game after 25 minutes and have been unable to access it. BR Live has been unresponsive online and on the phone. Now, BR Live tech support says, we are currently aware of issues regarding some matches not being viewable on BR Live right now. We are currently working. We are currently aware of this and are actively investigating. Now, after this whole debacle happened on Wednesday, I went to Bleacher Report and asked for a statement to kind of find out what happened. And they said, quote, for a short period of time this afternoon, we experienced some technical issues. We restored full capabilities and are proactively connecting with all impacted customers. Now, I posted that on Twitter. I got a response from Rocksteady Eddie on Twitter, and he says, short period. We spent 50 minutes on the phone with Bleacher Report Live to try to get a picture for the Liverpool match. The customer service was unprepared, and the issue went unresolved. Massive mistake allowing Bleacher Report to stream these matches. And so on and so forth. We got a ton of feedback through social media and through emails from really pissed off customers, pissed off soccer watchers who were wondering, what the hell? I mean, and that's the biggest issue, Kartik, is because they've gone to the streaming push. I mean, I think everybody kind of realized it, that they were going to have difficulties, but Turner wasn't prepared for this. So it's not a good look, and it's sad for, you know, whether you're a Liverpool supporter or supporter of any of the clubs. I mean, when this thing crashes and you can't even watch your favorite club or your favorite team playing in the Champions League, it's a huge issue.
Yeah, and they, I don't know that they understand the gravity of what they've done, because when you're talking specifically about Liverpool, you're talking about evangelical-like fans and supporter space in this country that's rabid, that, okay, you can use whatever metric you want and say, oh, well, there are less Liverpool fans than Dallas Cowboy fans, or maybe that's a bad example, than Minnesota Vikings fans in the country. But the reality is Liverpool fans, and this is the difference between Liverpool fans and Manchester United fans and Liverpool fans and Real Madrid fans, they will watch every match their team is playing in, particularly in Europe. They will go to great lengths to watch any match. And once you make this mistake with them, it just snowballs from there. So BR Live and Turner need to rectify this before the next match day. It's as simple as that. If they have one more mistake like this, like what happened with NBC Sports Gold, right? And that was that I think permanently damaged subscriptions and faith in that NBC Sports Gold product. I could go on and on. Well, but they just so many, not just from their production, but from the technology standpoint, which is you know, talent, on-air talent, show formats, production, all that stuff can be fixed relatively quickly if you acknowledge the problems. But if you have a technology issue, that takes a lot longer.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. Soccer fans, many of us who have been watching this game, this beautiful game, for many, many years in the United States, we're used to this. We've gone through this so many times, going back to the days of ITVN, going to the days of Fox Soccer Match Pass, which was previously foxsoccer.tv. That crashed all the time. So, and that had a bad name for the longest time. People were like, ah, this thing's, I mean, even today, if you mention Fox Soccer Match Pass, everyone says, okay, yeah, streaming issues, problems, even though they've been great for a few years now. NBC Sports Gold, if you mention that, you'll still get people that complain and say, ah, yeah, that thing's, it crashes all the time. It's a piece of crap. ESPN Plus hasn't had any of that, thankfully. So ESPN Plus is kind of on a pedestal where they haven't had any major crashing issues, and that speaks volumes. And that's the issue with BR Live, is that they need to resolve these issues ASAP. And the challenge is, Kartik, though, with so many of the games, or so few of the games being on television, on TNT, I mean, one per window, one in the 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. and one in the 3 to 5 p.m. window, is issues like this are going to happen again in terms of the amount of people going to the websites to actually watch it. So hopefully they fix this ASAP, because this could be a long and laborious season for sure.
Let's just talk for a minute about Univision and the Univision networks, because the thing we found this week with their programming, so this affects the response to Liverpool, et cetera. They will show matches involving Spanish teams or Mexican players, which is why they've shown PSV, before they show what might be the other featured matches. So if you're going to try and rely on Univision Deportes and Galavision and Unimas to show you the games you're looking for, it may not work. Now, that having been said, Univision has a streaming product which doesn't require authentication, and I have heard no complaints about it yet. Now, maybe there are complaints and people aren't using it or they're not communicating with me, but that is the other option. But if you're counting on actually seeing these matches on Univision television networks over the air, unfortunately, they have their own priorities for their viewing audience. And oftentimes that means you won't get the game you want, even if it's not on TNT. So yeah, just a note on that.
Yeah, it's a good point, too, because the Univision Deportes streaming platform, I haven't heard anything, any bad kind of feedback in terms of streaming issues or buffering issues. And the reality is, I mean, they streamed the 2014 World Cup on there. No problem. So they're used to that kind of the amount of, you mean, just kind of a surge of traffic at any moment before or during a game. One more thing, Kartik, I'll add about the Bleacher Report, well, actually TNT coverage, was on Wednesday post-game. So watch the Spurs-Barcelona game. Wonderful match, really entertaining. And then post-game, they had about 40 minutes. So they went all the way till about 5:30 Eastern time. Out of those 40 minutes, probably about 30 minutes or maybe 33 minutes was focused on Spurs-Barcelona.
Yeah.
And you had about 8 minutes about for all the other games. So they showed the goal from the Liverpool-Napoli game, and I think it was Stu Holden saying, yeah, this was coming, this is a really good game, it was coming, and Napoli scored. And then bam, 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 like, great, tried to get through the other games.
Again, this is like what used to happen with Fox. I had to watch ESPN FC, which, by the way, didn't have any highlights provided to them. But I had to watch Adrian Healy hosting last night with Burley and Nickel and Moreno to get analysis of the other however many games there were.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know what their plan is. They feel like they just are – now, granted, they broke down Spurs Barcelona pretty extensively.
Yeah, but almost like too extensively though. I mean, everyone saw the game, and you got 40 minutes of post game. 30 minutes of that is for Spurs and Barcelona, and they're telling us the same stuff we just saw. They're telling us, okay, here's what happened. Messi was one on one with keeper, and he's never going to miss there, and he scores. And they're just talking about it. So we've seen the game. Let's hear about the other games.
Right, and the one favor they've done for us. This match day, they had Martin Tyler and Stuart Robson calling that game. This is a shot at the Premier League here. The Premier League, you don't want to use Stuart Robson as a co-commentator on your broadcast. You're missing out, because I've watched him do Serie A this season. He's very good. I watched him do Bundesliga. I see him in the ESPN FC studio all the time. And then this game, he was on it. And part of it is working with Martin Tyler, I concede. But we already had all the analysis we needed in reality from Robson and Tyler. We didn't need a rehashing of it,
right.
Except in a small dose in the studio. But they went overkill on it without, and gave us no analysis of for Napoli. Virtually no analysis. Virtually no analysis the previous day of Ajax going to Munich, getting a result. And I've now gone back and watched portions of that match. And granted, one good thing about BR Live is they do have. If you're a Soccer Pass subscriber, matches on demand. So I was intrigued by Ajax playing so well in Munich. And Ajax controlled large portions of that game, which I think would surprise most people. But they didn't talk about it at all on Bleacher Report Live. I had to watch ESPN FC that night. And after Burley and the panel and Dan Thomas had talked about that match, I said, you know, maybe I should go back and watch it. If Ajax were that good, and they were. But I didn't get that on the actual network that carries the champions.
That has the rights to it, yeah. Same thing for me, Kartik, especially on Wednesday. I walked away on Wednesday after the post game going, okay, I want to know what happened in those other matches. I know that scorelines were, but I mean, so I went to YouTube, and I went to the Bleacher Report football stream, and then saw the highlights of the other games. But it's just highlights. It's just goal highlights. And I want to know the in-depth analysis about, okay, yes, I mean, sometimes highlights can give a false impression of what a game was like. If you just look at the highlights and think, okay, well, that team had four chances at a goal and scored, and the other one only had one. But the possession might have been completely different. It might have been a different type of game completely. And I walked away thinking, okay, I know what the scorelines were. I saw the goals. But I still don't have a good feeling for which teams are playing well, which teams are, you mean, having a tough time on the road or whatever it may be. I just walked away from that thinking I'm missing out somehow. And what I'm missing out on is that ESPN FC analysis. And it's a shame that Turner's not giving ESPN the permission to show the goal highlights on their program, which is ridiculous.
You know what's happened, though, during the course of the summer, where Fox made a mess out of the World Cup, and now TNT doing probably even worse with the Champions League, is that ESPN FC has become so indispensable. And those networks that are not giving them highlights, Fox gave them, from what I was told, 20% or 30% of the highlights that they had given Fox 4 years earlier, when ESPN had the rights. And Turner not giving them anything, TNT not giving them anything, it's sharpening the analysis and making the program. I mean, the intention of not giving them highlights is probably to try and marginalize ESPN FC as a program, right?
Right.
Instead, what it's doing is it's giving Burley more airtime, it's giving Marcotti airtime, it's giving Moreno more airtime, and they're making the points. They're just showing up Fox first during the summer, and now Turner. To where you have to watch ESPN FC after Champions League match day. So there's no choice at this point if you're a soccer fan.
Yeah, and that's the thing there too. I mean, to me as a viewer, if I'm watching ESPN FC and I'm watching the analysis, say on Tuesday night about the Champions League, and they're not showing goal highlights, It's a shame, but if they're not showing goal highlights, if I'm watching those ESPN FC shows, I'm probably more interested in watching the Champions League games the next day on the Wednesday, because they might give a preview, go in depth, or talk to Rafa Honigstein about Bayern and Ajax or whatever it may be. I'm probably more likely to. It's almost like a gateway drug. You mean you just feed them the Champions League information, and then that. I mean, the only place to see it in English. It's going to be on TNT or Bleacher Report Live. So,
why have Bleacher Report Live and TNT tried to reach out? I mean, maybe they're under contract with ESPN specifically. I don't know. But Sid Lowe, Honigstein, Julian Lorenz, the guys who come on regularly, who cover non-English European football, that come on ESPN FC, or even Stuart Robson, since they have him through the UEFA feed, international feed, calling matches. Why aren't they trying to get these guys and their expertise in their studio, even if it's for a 3-minute or 5-minute segment? Why aren't they doing something like what NBC does on a Monday, bringing in Danny Higginbotham and Martin Tyler to preview a match, to at least give the feel that when that international crew calls the match, there's some kind of connection to the U.S. audience and to Turner's coverage? Why aren't they doing these basic things, Chris?
I can tell you why. It's they're going after U.S. men's national team players, and they're trying to build their. I mean, I guess their stick is on kind of U.S. voices giving analysis about the Champions League. So whether it's Gooch, Marisa Du, Carlos Bocanegra, Tim Howard, Stu Holden, and there's probably a couple other ones I'm forgetting too that have been in the rotation. They're focusing on that and trying to have the American voice. But even if you're going for the American voice, why not bring in Brian McBride? Why not bring in, Eric Ronaldo. Yeah. Eric Ronaldo's looking for work. You mean,
Eric Ronaldo's a good one. Casey Keller is a good one.
Yeah.
Brian McBride's a good one. They're not even bringing in the guys. I think Tim Howard is a good hire, but again, he's an active player. Obviously, his availability is limited. And when he's not there, they're awful. I mean, he salvages, or sort of salvages, when he's there. But how smart was that to tap an active player and then be in scramble mode whenever he's not available, which has been as often as he's been available?
Yeah. You can go down the list too. I mean, Christopher Sullivan, Janusz Mihalik. I mean, there's a lot of former U.S. men's national team players that are very analytical and probably could step in and give, I mean, right off the bat, some great analysis. Yeah, they're not as young as say Moadu, etc. But I think I mean that's what's there's so many things that are missing, but that's one of the things that's missing, and it's a huge part of this show. That's the pre-game, post-game. It's all talk. It's all analysis. It's a little bit of a social media thing here and there, but so much of it is focused on the discussion, and the discussion is weak. Kartik, let's move on to the DC Fan Fest in Los Angeles, in Washington, D.C. this past weekend. Of course, NBC taking the show out on the road. And on Saturday, they were in D.C. And what did you make of their coverage?
I mean, I guess it is what it is. I mean, I didn't care for it much personally because I thought it was, you had Rebecca Lowe having to scream. You had the Robbies having to scream. They were kind of more attached to certain fan bases. Okay, here's the West Ham supporters this morning. And then deploying Robbie Earl at one point. I think it was Robbie Earl with the Chelsea fans before the Chelsea-Liverpool match. Alan Shearer gave good analysis. He's gotten a lot better when I've watched him on the BBC the last few years. He gave some nice commentary, but it almost was, to me, a throwaway, because then the next 2 days, NBC has Premier League matches, and they're back at a high level. One day it's Rebecca Lowe in the studio. The next day it's Derek Ray, and great conversation between Derek Ray and Steve Bauer on Monday. So I know the fan fests are big for building the profile of the Premier League and interaction with supporters throughout the country. But as a viewer, I would rather do without them. I would just rather have Rebecca in the studio with the boys discussing things the way they normally.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, for me, I think every once in a while it's okay. It's to me, it felt like breakfast television. It felt like Good Morning America, just very feel good, very kind of light. They were talking about breakfast, and this is the way to have a great British breakfast, and just very, very light and very feel good. And I like seeing the fans on the set. I like seeing the fans cheering, and the shots of the Liverpool fans and the Man United fans, and so on and so forth. I just thought. It was entertaining. I watched it, and yes, I didn't learn anything from it, but I just liked seeing the groundswell of support for these clubs around the country, and I think this is a perfect example. I'd like to see that with Major League Soccer. I'd like to see MLS going into markets, maybe where they don't have teams, and doing something similar and having some kind of fun fan festival, kind of getting out of the comfort zone, because... I think it goes a long way to... probably a lot of people watching this subconsciously would have seen the DC Fan Fest and gone like, hey, I'm a Liverpool fan. I live in the DC area, or I live wherever it is. They're just like me. And I think it works. It's smart marketing from NBC Sports once again. And then, Kartik, anything else from this past week, briefly, just to mention?
Yeah, the Atlanta New York game on ESPN was a really good call from Healy and Twellman. It was a surprising match how well New York played, but Taylor Twellman, every match he's a co-commentator on, he does something provocative, and in this match he's talking a lot about tactics and formations and taking shots at the U.S. men's national team for not hiring a permanent head coach during the match. A lot of times I'll be honest, I watch these games. This game I want to watch anyway, but I watch these MLS matches just to hear Twellman, which is again a reason why I'm not watching the matches on Fox. Just a little thing there. There were a lot of good Bundesliga matches this weekend. I have to say,
yeah.
I thought that Keith Costigan and Ian Joy in particular were good this weekend. This past weekend was a weekend where I ended up watching as much, if not more, Bundesliga than Premier League.
Yeah, me too.
Because the matches, Fox still isn't good, but they have good talent there. And they have a league which they can promote, they can showcase. Mm-hmm. Weston McKennie just scored the winner for Schalke in the Champions League yesterday. A match that, by the way, was not on TNT. I had to watch on Galavision.
Yeah, but me too.
The bottom line is it begs the question again about Fox's promotion, because this weekend I got hooked on the Bundesliga again, and I think I'm going to be watching more of it the rest of the season. And as much as we have on this show taking shots at the Bundesliga, when I actually watch it, I realize it is a compelling product,
yep,
regardless of all the other criticisms of it.
And that's the thing, though, too, is that I ended up watching more Bundesliga this weekend than Premier League matches, too. The Hertha Berlin match on Friday against Bayern Munich was a great game, 2-0 to Hertha and Hertha. And Keith Costigan and Ian Joy commentating, doing a great job. And that's been my criticism of Fox Sports, is not being aimed at the talent. The talent are doing a good job at covering the Bundesliga. The issue is in regards to the lack of promotion, both by Fox Sports and the Bundesliga. There's very little outreach to let people know what's going on. And I missed the match on Sunday, Kartik. I'm not sure if you saw it. It was the Hamburg St. Pauli derby. And I missed it. I didn't know it was on. It was on at 7:30 on Sunday morning. And from what I heard, the game was good, but the atmosphere was incredible.
Oh my goodness! I didn't see it either. And
it was on FS. It was on FS1.
And Hamburg is down for the first time ever. Right, it's the first time they've been
ages.
In the same. St. Pauli has come up a few times to the first division, and those derbies have been electric. You have to know a little bit of the culture of, I think most people listening know what FC St. Pauli is, but the culture of Hamburg as a town, my gosh, now I would have woke up and watched that if I had known.
And it was on FS1, Kartik. Wow. So it's like, these games, going back to the Fox Rock, Oktoberfest, whatever it was called, and then this thing, and then there's been other things they've done too, but they're not getting the word out to let people know that it's actually happening. So... okay. All right, Kartik, let's move on to TV streaming news. Not a lot this time, but there's one interesting news item.
Yeah, BN this week, and this is the parent BN Corporation, this week launched a $1 billion U.S. Investment arbitration case against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for having been unlawfully driven out of the Saudi market and subjected to what has been described as the most widespread piracy of sports broadcasting that the world has ever seen. The landmark case is the only known investment arbitration ever brought in connection to state-supported illegal broadcast piracy. The arbitration is being commenced following universal public condemnation of the Saudi-based pirate TV channel BeOutQ, which in tandem with Riyadh-based satellite provider Arabsat has orchestrated a plague of piracy on world sports and entertainment over the past year. Now, let me give you a little more context on this. During the World Cup this summer, because the MENA, Middle East, North African rights were largely with BeIN, there were attempts by the Saudi government to jam BeIN Sports signal in certain countries, and especially in Saudi Arabia, of course, but in other countries in the Arab world, and promote an illegal stream of these matches. FIFA didn't do anything about it. It's the Qatar-Saudi dispute in geopolitics, which has been very prominent over the last year and a half. But this piracy was so widespread, Chris, that it ended up hitting the pages of the Financial Times, of The Economist, of Bloomberg, of Forbes. It was talked about in mass this summer. I was surprised at the time BeIN didn't take action. But I guess they needed their lawyers to get things together. And now, 2-3 months later, they filed this this landmark case.
Yeah, it's crazy times, Kartik. And it's one of those things that, I mean, BeIN Sports has, the parent corporation has looked into this and used a lot of experts. And they say definitely that these illegal pirated streams, well, not streams, even feeds, satellite feeds are coming out of Saudi Arabia. And it's a war, and it's over. It's not even over TV rights or streaming, but it's a way for Saudi Arabia to try to minimize Qatar in terms of. Yeah. And Qatar is building their legacy, building everything on sports. So this is a massive issue, and no surprise there for the. Well, it's surprising the amount of dollars, $1 billion, no surprise that they're going after them. Now moving on, Kartik, to TV ratings. So. We kind of teased this in the first segment about TNT and how they're doing and whether it's working or not. And again, we just have the preliminary numbers. We'll have all the numbers at worldsoccertalk.com this weekend. But the number that stands out for me, Kartik, is the Man United against Valencia game on Tuesday on TNT. 234,000 viewers. And that seems small. And especially when you consider... Yes, the Man United game was on a weekday and during office hours, a 3 p.m. kickoff. But then you look at Cardiff City against Burnley in the Premier League, and of course, probably two of the least supported clubs, perhaps in America. I mean, just not huge fan bases by any means. That one had 225,000 viewers, so almost more people watched Cardiff against Burnley on NBCSN. On Sunday, then they did Man United against Valencia on TNT. What do you think about that, Kartik?
Yeah, that's worrying. I think that there hasn't been much really to encourage viewership of the Champions League on TNT because of all these errors that we've heard earlier. I think people are streaming or they're watching Univision for these matches. And there's still a lack of awareness among some people that the competition is on TNT. I mean, my parents were looking for the Man City game on Tuesday on Fox. Now, I don't know why I hadn't told them in the course of the last however many months that Fox no longer has the rights to the Champions League, and I guess they had missed match day one. But my mother was looking for the Man City game on Tuesday and texted me that it wasn't on FS1 or FS2. Is it on Sun Sports or Fox Sports Florida? No, it's on TNT.
Right.
But that's... and I should, you know, I guess we do this, Chris, for a living. I should do the most basic thing, which is to survey my parents and find out what they're thinking. But they didn't know the TNT had the rights, which is shocking.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, too. I mean, overall, I'd say that Turner's done a poor job at advertising and promoting and letting soccer fans know that they are the rights holder. I think they've imagined that maybe Bleacher Report Live or Bleacher Report, the website, was so popular that everyone would know about it because, you mean, they posted it on Bleacher Report. But people like your parents and many other people who don't go to Bleacher Report would not know unless they came across, you know, worldsoccertalk.com or some other website that had the information. The other game, Kartik, that was on TNT on Tuesday was Hoffenheim against Manchester City. An enjoyable match. I enjoyed watching this one again. But this one had 143,000 viewers. And I know Hoffenheim doesn't have a large fan base in the States. Man City does, relatively. But still, 143,000 viewers. That's for the Champions League matches, even though it's a 1 p.m. kickoff, that's still poor. And that's the thing that I guess Turner's going to struggle with, is why are the numbers not as good as they should be? And probably Univision's a large part of that, but I think they need to do a much better promotion, TNT does, in promoting that they have these games and getting the word out, because so far it's been lackluster. In some of the other games, Kartik, an interesting number was the Real Madrid against Atleti derby on Saturday. This is on beIN Sports. This is the English language viewing audience only, the number for that. That was 118,000 viewers, which doesn't sound that good, but usually the Spanish side of beIN Sports, the Spanish channel, usually has about double the amount that, or double or triple the amount that the English side does. So if I had a guess, it probably was closer to about 400 to 450,000 viewers that watched the Madrid derby on Saturday on beIN Sports. So that's definitely a positive there. Sporting KC against Real Salt Lake. Again, FS1 has problems broadcasting Major League Soccer on Sunday evenings. 103,000 viewers. That's pretty bad there, Kartik. In better news, New York Red Bulls against Atlanta on ESPN on Sunday. That one had 244,000 viewers.
And by the way, that debunks this notion that you can't put a game up against the NFL, because they put that matchup against the NFL. Even I found it odd, but I was like, oh, great. And I was watching the Eintracht Hanover game, but I'm thinking, this is great. You know, I'll have soccer on television until 3 p.m. and I can tune out the noise from American football, because I'm not in the least bit interested. Quite, that's me. I know a lot of you out there are. But they got 244,000 viewers for this, which isn't great, but it's not. If you listen to some of these people who talk about why MLS has to do certain things, they'll basically say no one will watch if it goes up against the NFL or against college football. But the reality is that number is not any lower than the numbers that MLS is consistently getting at this time of the year anyway. In fact, it's probably higher. It's one of the better numbers we've seen the last few weeks. So I really am heartened by that number, even though it's not that high. I think that says a lot to debunk the lazy narratives of so many people who just don't want to change in this country.
Well, part of it, though, too, is Atlanta United, and they're the outlier. So I think people are definitely tuning in more so to watch Atlanta United, because those games are exciting. I mean, it's attacking football. It's a great brand to watch. And that fan base is growing massively. And the other part of it is ESPN. ESPN is, time after time, just getting much better TV viewing numbers for Major League Soccer than Fox is. So it might be partly ESPN, and then probably a lot of Atlanta, the reason for that big number. And that's the thing, too. At the end of the day, if it's up against NFL or college football or whatever it is, if the product is as good as possible, people will tune in and watch it. The audience is there. You just have to give them the reason to watch it. So let's move on to listener mailbag. We've got a bunch of feedback. First one up is from Tim Keane. He says, I watched TNT for the first time on Tuesday. They make Fox look special. Edgar Davids and Maurice Edu looked bored and uninterested, and their comments were almost comical as they were so bad. Add in that well-known soccer expert Steve Nash, and I almost mouthed, bring back Warren Barton. Zachariah Tollison says, BR Live has amazingly gotten worse. I know your podcast has focused more on television, but the streaming service is the worst I've ever come across. It's so bad you might as well stream illegally, as you'll get a better quality of picture. We are paying more and getting less. It is unacceptable and Turner has to be taken to task. It is somehow worse than the last match week. The login continues to require you to jump through hoops. The platform is incredibly slow. Navigating the platform requires a compass, and it constantly forgets purchases you've made. It is nothing short of a dumpster fire. Turner has to be taken to task. Fox, despite their flaws, offered more for less, and anyone who disagrees is in complete denial. Honestly, NBC Sports Gold is easier to navigate than this smelly garbage. And that's the thing, Kartik, is I'm not a fan of the BR Live. I guess the design of the site, just the way the organization of it. We mentioned this on the last podcast. Sometimes I know that there's content there, and I can't find it. And I'm like, so I have to log out of BR Live and then log back in and then go to the homepage and then I see it.
There have been so many issues this week. I forgot to mention this too, Chris. So I upgraded to iOS 12, and it automatically logged me out of BR Live. And then during the Bayern Ajax match and the Real Madrid CSKA Real Madrid match, it basically said my free preview would expire. And I logged back, and I had already logged in once after upgrading to iOS 12. I logged in again, was fine the rest of the day, but then yesterday it made me log in again for Liverpool-Napoli. And I got the match, no problem, once I logged in. But this is in contrast to ESPN Plus. John Lasker told us when you and I were in Bristol a couple weeks ago that, and I told him, hey, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I have not had to log in since May. Right. I mean, I just hit my ESPN app. I go to the watch tab, and my ESPN Plus content's there. Is that a problem? It's like, no, we don't want you to have to log in. We don't want you to have to go through that step. We're conscious of it. We've authenticated it in such a way that it knows you. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case with BR Live at all. I've had to log in. Now, one time may have been Apple's fault, because although I upgraded to iOS 12 and went to ESPN Plus to watch ESPN FC and then a 30 for 30 after, and didn't have a problem. So I think it's on BR Live 3 times in 2 days, whereas I haven't had to log in since May for ESPN Plus, 5 months or however long that is. So take that for what it's worth also.
And that is the risk with BR Live, is that so many of the games are on streaming. I mean, all the Europa League games except for the final, all of the Champions League games are on there, and then just a couple on TV per day. On the English language side, is that the risk is with BR Live is that if it does continue to not work as well as we want it to work, it's going to be a massive issue, and it's going to decrease the number of subscribers. I mean, the people that are subscribed are probably going to cancel. I mean, some people subscribe for the annual plan, went for the whole year. I mean, so yeah. these are big issues. People are paying lots of money for this, so this better be improved. Charles Bobbis posted, he says, I listened to your latest pod this morning. Very interesting. Regarding ESPN FC's lack of Bundesliga coverage, I think I'm right to say that their Bundesliga expert, Rafa Honigstein, has not appeared on the show in a while, which is unfortunate as I find him to be an insightful observer of European soccer, especially the European game. I enjoy hearing him on the EuroLeagues podcast from BBC 5 Live. Regarding the ESPN app, I agree that the interface is suboptimal. I discovered that the best way to find what I want to watch is to use the calendar function, which has an icon on the top right of the homepage. It has live links to all live upcoming and replay programming by date and by sport. Much easier than scrolling through all the labels on the home and watch page. Finally, I was really surprised when you announced that Turner was not showing the Liverpool-Napoli Champions League match on TV. I agree that the decision makes no sense. It might be the best match of the day given the quality of both sides. I hope to watch it on the Univision Deportes app. And that came in before Wednesday's game. And yes, it did end up being a good game.
Yeah. and this just reinforces, I think, some of the issues with their selection of matches. Real quickly on the Honigstein issue, he hasn't been on for a few weeks. I've noticed that also. And the last few times he's been on, there's been more conversation about Jurgen Klopp and Thomas Tuchel, because they're leading prominent clubs outside Germany, than about the actual Bundesliga. So that's and Leroy Sané, is he having problems with Pep? That was the conversation the last time I remember seeing him on the show. That's a really good point. He hasn't been on for a few weeks. That impacts Bundesliga coverage. But I think even before that, they were using him to talk about Germans abroad, if you will, PSG and Liverpool and Man City, more than they were about the Bundesliga specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it could be, too, that there's not as much interest in the Bundesliga, I mean, among mainstream America. So maybe they're like, okay, we'll just have you come back on just for the segments to have, you mean, kind of are in relation to the Champions League or in relation to what's happening in the Premier League or something. But yeah, he's definitely a great analyst. John Average Geek says, does Fox use its NFL games to promote Bundesliga? Any sport on NBC, there is a Premier League advert. And the answer to that would be no. So Fox does not use the NFL to promote the Bundesliga. It'd be a huge statement of intent if they did. That would definitely increase the amount of awareness and would also, you mean, let people know about Pulisic and other players, other Americans playing in the Bundesliga. And as far as I know, they haven't done that.
This weekend, the Ryder Cup was on NBC. Sorry, Chris, to cut you off. I could throw this in. There were Premier League ads constantly during the Ryder Cup.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's a perfect example right there.
Now, of course, I think there's more golf and particularly the Ryder Cup being an international event. I realize there's more crossover with soccer fans watching that than maybe with the NFL. But still, the statement of intent was clear. They were advertising the Premier League as much as they advertised the NFL on it.
Yep. Next up is Paul Scanling, and Paul says, lots of valid points about how poorly Fox is covering the Bundesliga. Sad because I really enjoy the league. You two also continued your tradition of pronouncing something different from each other. Caribou versus Carabao. And it's Carabao, Kartik. It's Carabao.
Yeah, I don't know Mandarin. So that's probably why. But yeah.
I thought about that the other day, though, too, because I was thinking to myself, you mean, okay, yes, it's an energy drink. I think out of Thailand, I think it is. But I'm like, I mean, to do a global sponsorship deal like that, it's pretty smart. But it's not even available, as far as I know, in the United States. So, you mean, if it had Carabao in the stores, I probably would pick up a can just to see what it would taste like.
Don't get me going on that, because as a former Fort Lauderdale Strikers employee and consultant, et cetera, we had an energy drink on the front of our shirts one year from Brazil that was not available in the United States. So, and it was obscene. And it was, again, because
it was obscene. It was obscene.
It was absolutely obscene because, well, obscene in a different way, because, the goal of the management was to advertise in Brazil and to sell a sponsorship to advertise in Brazil when this drink wasn't even available in the market where the team was playing. So,
okay.
But that's and that failed miserably. But that's something that I think we're going to see more of.
We see
a lot of ads. So the La Liga match, the Real Madrid Atleti match. I saw some ads during that match that I think were specifically directed to English language audiences outside Spain.
Which is
on the thing.
Yeah, which is different than what we usually see. Yeah. So. All right, next up is Jeffrey Allen. He says, I always watch the Bundesliga. On weekends, I start with the Premier League, but switch over when the Bundesliga match begins. I suppose it's because it was my first love via Soccer Made in Germany. Imagine if Toby Charles had a weekly Bundesliga podcast. That would be fantastic, right? Jester Fish says, after listening to your recent pod, I made the pledge to DVR and watch more Bundesliga. And boy, was I treated to a game from Hertha against Bayern on my first attempt. Great game and seemed like a great atmosphere. And yes, it was. Nuke says, decided to watch the Dortmund. Look, Kartik, after our kind of criticizing the Bundesliga so much in last week's podcast, we had so many people that went the opposite way and started watching more Bundesliga, which is good, which is great.
Including us.
Yeah, including us. So it's good to do that every once in a while. So Nuke says, decided to watch the Dortmund game in the Bundesliga and give it another try this season. And the presentation is awful compared to NBC. Same with BN. I find Ray Hudson too biased when calling Barca games, and it takes away from the broadcast. And I would give you that, too, in terms of the way that, I mean, going into watching a Premier League weekend, this seems like serious business in terms of the build-up and the graphics and, I mean, the discussion. And it's like, I mean, it really builds you up to those games. And sometimes the games aren't as good as what we would think they would be like. And then on the Bundesliga, it's very much, okay, all right, going right into the broadcast, kind of a small studio, giving some discussion and then jumping into the game, and it's not as seamless or as much energy or money spent on focusing on the Bundesliga. But so good feedback there from Nuke. Dana Miner says, Saturday, 29th of September, I turned on my TV at 7:30 And I was surprised to see, this was Sunday. So Sunday I turned on my TV at 7:30 in the morning, and I was surprised to see a Bundesliga game in progress. At first I thought it was a repeat from the previous week, but then I saw live superimposed on the screen. I pretty quickly realized it was a Bundesliga 2 game between Hamburg and St. Pauli. 57,000 fans in a stadium for a second-tier matchup. You won't see that in most leagues. Even though the game was turgid, I was excited that I didn't have to wait until 9:30 for Bundesliga action. But what I do not understand is why Fox did nothing to let their regular Bundesliga viewers know they were going to be running the game at this time. Fox does an awful job of promoting its product. The DFB has to move from into the 21st century, but it also has to find a better broadcast partner than Fox Sports. And then last but not least, last comment this week is from Edwin. He says, I don't think it matters that the numbers and wider interest that you get with the Premier League, La Liga, or even MLS isn't there. I agree Fox does a poor job with all of its properties, for example, Major League Soccer. But for a league like the Bundesliga, which is supposed to have a cachet and it oftentimes gets beat by Major League Soccer in viewing numbers, it's growing, but it's an inferior product. I agree with Chris and Kartik that the Bundesliga is headed for BR Live, beIN Sports, or ESPN Plus. It's just not a tier one soccer TV product in terms of getting viewers. Games are routinely drawing 60 to 80,000 viewers on FS1 and 20 to 40,000 on FS2. And I would say, Kartik, that the league is entertaining, the crowds are fantastic. It's the two biggest issues are, one, it's right slap against the Premier League games. So it forces the viewer into, okay, do I watch the Premier League or do I watch the Bundesliga? And so for the most part, the Premier League is always going to win that battle. And the second thing is they're not promoting it. They're really not spending a lot of energy and time and money to promote this league as much as they should be. And there's other reasons too, but the Bayern Munich example would be a good one of that. But it is what it is. All right, listeners, you can always reach us via email through web@worldsoccertalk.com or on Facebook, facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, and on Twitter @worldsoccertalk. Plus, of course, you can always post comments on worldsoccertalk.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, your questions, advice, tips, rage, whatever it may be. We'll read those out on air. All right, Kartik, so where can listeners find you if we want to catch up on your latest analysis?
You can find me on Twitter at KKFLA737 and obviously online at a number of places, worldsoccertalk.com, sportbusiness.com, and yankshipbecoming.com, among others.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. You can get a new episode of the World Soccer Talk podcast every Thursday. Every episode is released on SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, Audio Boom, and worldsoccertalk.com. If you like the show, we'd greatly appreciate it if you can post a review on iTunes, whether it's positive or negative. Just let people know about it and give us your thoughts and what you think about the podcast. Again, that's on iTunes. And Kartik, heading into another week of European football and American football and world football, as in world soccer, what should they do?
Enjoy your football.